Well, Thanksgiving, what a great time of the year. I hope you're anticipating a good day on Thanksgiving and all of the joys that go along with this season in your life and in your family's life. I like Charlie Brown and the cartoons that he's had. I don't know if they still come out. I think the author of those has passed away. I'm not sure, but there used to be one at Thanksgiving Day. And you had on Thanksgiving Day a roast, the smell of a roast turkey filled Charlie Brown's house. And you remember Snoopy, the dog. And he was always lying on the top of his doghouse, remember? And he was out there on Thanksgiving and he could smell the aroma. And here's Snoopy, and he's thinking, it's Thanksgiving Day. Everybody eats turkey on Thanksgiving Day. So he lies there and he's watching the door, eagerly awaiting his Thanksgiving dinner. Finally, the door opens and here comes Charlie Brown with a bowl of dry dog food. And he puts it on the ground. Snoopy gets off his house and he stares at the dog food with just a forlorn look on his face. And he thinks, just because I'm a dog, I have to eat dog food on Thanksgiving Day. Well, then in the cartoon, the next frame or square shows Snoopy looking at the dog food now more intently, and this time he's thinking, it could be worse. I could be the turkey. Thanksgiving Day. Someone also wrote this, how to observe Thanksgiving. This is a little more on the serious side. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. That's good, isn't it? I like how it rhymes, and the message certainly is clear. Well, as you look at the screen here, would you please turn to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and chapter 2. Chapter 2, the book of Deuteronomy is a challenge sometimes to read through. The book of Deuteronomy. In this book of Deuteronomy, what we have is the retelling by Moses of the law. And so the reading gets kind of heavy sometimes because some have described this as just one big sermon from Moses. But yet there's some very important and tremendous things for us in this passage this morning. Chapter 2, if you would go there. Well, let's go back to chapter 1. I want to point out a fact to you. At this time, the children of Israel have escaped Egypt and Pharaoh's rule. They've been led by Moses. They're out in the desert now. But it's interesting to note in chapter 1, verse 2, and I'll come back to this in a moment, but it says there, look what, well, first of all, I think most everybody probably knows here how many years the children of Israel wandered in the desert, in the wilderness. I think everybody might come up with the 40 years because you see that in verse 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that God had given in the commandment unto them. They came after 40 years to Kadesh Barnea. That's just outside the promised land where the spies were sent in. You remember the story, 12 went down to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. The two good ones were Joshua and Caleb. But look, here's what's so amazing. They were 40 years wandering in the desert. But look at verse 2. It says there are 11 days' journey from Horeb. That's where they were when they came out of Egypt, by the way of Mount Seir, unto Kadesh Barnea. A 40-year journey could have been made in 11 days. That's rather amazing. I'll come back to that, but we're going to go to chapter 2 for our main text this morning, if you would with me, please. All right? And in this here, what we have in Deuteronomy, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I want you to go to 1 Chronicles. That is wrong on the screen. I did a little debating yesterday on messages, and I bounced back and forth. This is embarrassing, but we'll get it going here in a moment. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, a little further back in your Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Here's where I knew I was off track. In this passage of Scripture here, you have David's prayer of thanksgiving. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I'm still not at the right place. Okay, there we go. We have David's psalm of thanksgiving. It begins in verse 7, and it goes all the way through verse 36. And our text verse for this morning is verse 16, chapter 16, verse 4. Let's read that one together. And he appointed certain of the Levites, they were the priests, to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record, and then it says, to thank, this is Thanksgiving week, to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. They were to thank. And I want to break this verse apart a little bit. If you'll just keep your Bible open and looking at it, I want to make, first of all, a mention of the first three words there. It says, and he appointed. These Levites, as I said, were the Old Testament priests. They were chosen by God for this position that they had. They carried the ark. Today, if you are a child of God, if you have been born again, you are a priest. Revelation 1 verse 6 says this, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Wow, I'm a priest. Not only that, I'm a king, it says. You can call me King Kim, okay? And that's King Marvell back there. And back here is King Jim and King David. It says that, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Listen, if you're saved today, these words, appointed, if you're saved today, you're a child of God. Let me explain that. It means that you're part of the elect. Now, don't worry, I'm not getting off into predestination and those kind of things. But I believe election, it's in the Bible, election is very simple. If you have been saved, you're a child of God. If you haven't been saved, you're not a child of God. So get saved and be a child of God. Isn't that pretty simple doctrine and teaching? It sure is. 2 Peter says this in chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to him. John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world, not just some, says the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't ever think that, well, maybe I'm not part of the elect. Maybe I'm not part of the chosen. Once again, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole wide world. His blood was sufficient for everyone that has lived in the past, everyone that lives today, and everyone that will live in the future. His gift of salvation is good to everyone today. The question is, have you received His gift? The next holiday after Thanksgiving is Christmas. And for the most part, we like to give Christmas gifts. Well, gifts are a wonderful thing, but here's the key. If someone offers you a gift, you have to receive it, don't you? Amen? You have to take it. And salvation is the free gift of God. But you have to receive it. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Wow, isn't that a wonderful thing? I did that when I was a young boy. Okay? We're not born Christians. We're not born believers, even though some people may say, well, this is a Christian country. That's becoming highly debatable. But that's not why we're Christians. We're Christians because we receive God's gift of salvation. And when I was a young boy, I knew I was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I heard the gospel message in a church just like this one that preached the Word of God. I heard it through Sunday school teachers. I heard it through my mother, how Jesus loved me and wanted to save me. And I'm so glad that I trusted Him at a young age. Today, if you don't know the Lord, you can receive that gift of salvation. And boy, we assure and encourage you to do so. Then you'll have real reason for thanksgiving. Number two, go back to our verse here. And He appointed certain of the Levites. It says to minister. To minister. The priests were to minister to God. The result of thanksgiving in our heart. Listen carefully here. If you've been saved and you're thankful, we sang, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." The result of thanksgiving in our life ought to be service. We ought to give our life to God to serve Him. Before I was married, I lived in Jacksonville, Florida. And I was involved in the ministry there. I was a teacher in a Christian school down in Jacksonville. It was a big church. We probably ran 3,000 to 4,000 every Sunday morning. But there was even a bigger Baptist church in town. It was the First Baptist Church. And it was a good church, too. It preached the gospel. It was the First Baptist Church. At that time, the pastor was a man by the name of Dr. Homer Lindsay. He was a powerful preacher. He might have since gone to be with the Lord. I have something that he said one time. Remember now, he's pastoring a church of maybe 4,000, 5,000, maybe more people. What a challenge. He said this. He was asked by a newspaper reporter, "What is the key to the success of your church?" Homer Lindsay said, "When I came, I wanted to make evangelism my number one priority." Reaching out, reaching people for Christ. He goes on and he says, "And I wanted to build the church by building Christians." That's what we want to do here at Anchor Baptist Church. And I believe by the grace of God we're doing in our Sunday school program and in our other services, normally Sunday night, not tonight, other times, Wednesday night, we're trying to build Christians. Why? So that we serve the Lord and that we reach people for Christ. We're going to reach people. Yesterday, there were about 7 of us, I believe, out trying to reach people for Christ, going out, visiting. We're running our bus, trying to bring in boys and girls that need to hear about Jesus. And boy, we need more helpers. We need more people to get on board. Hey, let me just finish this quotation. Homer Lindsay said, "You build Christians by teaching them to truly be thankful." That's why I liked this quotation for this message at this time of the year. You build Christians by teaching them to be truly thankful, he said. And the key to being thankful is to learn to love Jesus. Do you love Jesus this morning? Amen. It's a lot of amens. I'm glad to hear that. I hope that's true. And if you love Jesus, you'll be thankful. He continues and he says, learning to be thankful for everything is the doctrine of thanksgiving. That's what we're preaching about here this morning from the Word of God. If a person is not grateful, he will never grow in love, but he will grow in every area where he learns to be thankful. Let's be thankful. To minister, it says here. We all have a ministry if you know Christ as your Savior. And there's a place in this church for every truly born-again believer. Well, let's go on. Back to our verse. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister. Then it says, before the ark of the Lord, and it says, to record. To record or to write down. And the idea behind that, writing down, is to remember. Remembrance is a very important part of thanksgiving. We need to remember all that God has done for us. We need to remember when we're saved. I remember it like it was yesterday. We need to remember all of God's blessings to us. Christy and I have been married, I guess, 42 years now. I might be wrong. It's over 40. And my God has been good to us. He's been good to us. You know, there's so many things I could say. I remember one illustration. When we were living in Canada, in the far north in Thompson, we went up there and we were able to move into a home to rent for a short period of time, but then we needed to move out. And we were looking for a house to buy. And we looked all over and we found one that I liked, and then we found one that she liked. You know who won? She won. It happened to be a house that was owned by the Manitoba Power Company. And they had had that house for a high-ranking employee that was in the far north, but he got relocated, and so the house was empty. A realtor took, and the Manitoba Hydro put it into the hands of a realtor. They really wanted to sell it, and the realtor took us around and showed us this house, and it was very nice. And we said. To the realtor, I said, but we really would just like to rent a house. We didn't feel we were in the position. We had just gotten into Canada less than a year. And we said, we'd really, and the realtor said to us, oh, no, 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 no. He said, this is owned by the power company and they want to sell it. Okay, I understand that. And so anyway, I thought, I'm going to call. And so I got on the phone and I called down to Winnipeg, Manitoba, to the offices of the Manitoba Hydro. He had let it slip, I think, the name of the man. Somehow I found out the name of the man who was in charge of their properties. And I called him and I said, we looked at this house. It was on a street called Manassan Drive. And I said, we really liked it, but we're not in a position. We're really not interested in buying it right now. And I said, we'd like to rent it. Would you rent it to us? And he said, oh, sure, we'll rent it to you. That was God. God did that. And then I thought, we got off the phone, and I don't know if it was a day later or even the same day. We had a little dog, a nice little dog. And I thought came to me, sometimes they don't want to rent if you've got a pet. And so I thought, I was kind of dreading. Oh, man, here we were. It was the house my wife liked. And he said he'd rent it to us. We didn't have to buy it. And I thought then, oh, what's going to happen with this dog? And so I called the same fellow up and I said, listen, I said, I forgot to tell you the other day, time that we were on the phone that we have a dog. And he said, oh, that's nice. We have a dog too. It didn't make any difference to them at all. God was in that. You know what? I could tell you story after story how God has led us. Every single place we've lived, I could tell you stories about vehicles we've owned, and God has led in those kind of things. He's blessed, He's guided, and He's directed in life, and He'll do the same for you if you let Him. To record, to remember, it's so important that we remember. And as I said there, when we remember, we'll be thankful. Let's go on in our verse. Stay with me here. Keep your Bibles open. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record, that's to remember, and then it says, and to thank. This is Thanksgiving week, isn't it? The truth of the matter is, we should not be just be thankful on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving week, right? We all know that, don't we? We should be thankful 365 days of the year. That song we sang earlier, Count Your Blessings. Do you ever do that? Listen, there's a lot of problems in this country today, but nevertheless, it's a land that's free. Amen? And we can have a Bible. And we're free to take a Bible. We're free to be in church on Sunday. We're free to worship as we want and as we believe. We have so much to be thankful for. But you know what? Thanksgiving is not a natural trait for any of us. You know, parents teach Thanksgiving to their children, don't they? Like you got a little boy or a girl and somebody does something for them or gives them something. And then when that happens, I bet every parent here has done this. You say to that boy or girl, what do you say to the nice lady who gave you something? And the little kid goes, thank you. You know, you have to teach thankfulness because thankfulness is not part of our fallen old nature. We have to learn to be thankful. A boy was once given an orange by a man. And the mother said to this little boy, she says, what do you say to the nice man? And the boy handed the orange back to the man and he said, peel it. That's not quite thankfulness, is it? Peel it. Oh boy. You know what? It should never have to be a case where somebody reminds us, what do you say to the nice God that has done so many things for you and for me? It shouldn't be that way. We should be thankful. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is the natural man. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. The next word is this. Unthankful, and then unholy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks, be a thankful people for all that God has done for you. There was a Scottish preacher one time, his name was Alexander Wythe. And he always began his prayers with an expression of gratitude. Well, one particular Sunday, it was cold. And of course, in Scotland, it was raining. It was just miserable. And the people in his church We're wondering, what is he going to say today when he prays? And so he prayed. And he said, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." You can find thanks in pretty much everything if you only look. Let me give you the last one, going back to our verse this morning. "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel." The last thing here is this. It's to praise. It's to praise. Praise goes beyond thanksgiving. You have your Bible open to this chapter of 1 Chronicles 16. If you take the time, maybe not today, we won't read through this today, but perhaps some other time you can. It's David's Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's very notable in this book. This book here, which is one big sermon from Moses, you've got David's Psalm of Thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. Starts actually in verse 7, but verse 8. "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds upon the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually." And it goes on and on, this psalm of praise that David has. This great psalm of praise. God has created us to love, to serve, and to praise him. Psalm 102, verse 18 says this, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." That's the message from the Word of God this morning. If you have been saved, if you're a child of God this morning, praise him, thank him, love him, and serve him with your whole heart and with your whole life. I had a couple illustrations to use to close this morning. You can close your Bibles if you would, please. I'm going to make my way down here. Bear with me a moment. Close your Bibles. And I'll make it. Don't worry, okay? I just got to take my time. Let me close with this morning. There was an interesting story that was written up one time about a young boy who lived in a European city at the end of World War II. He had been orphaned by all of the atrocities committed by the German forces in that war. Now he was alone. He was an orphan. He had to scrounge around the ruined, bombed city as best he could to find food, clothes, and shelter. But nearly everyone was experiencing desperate times. If you know your history, you know what it was like in that country after the war. And this young boy, little boy, he found that people either ignored him or had nothing to give. So years before, he had heard someone talk about God and Jesus. But with the hell on earth, war is hell, that the war had brought into his life, he had long since lost what meager faith he had had. One cold morning, he was wandering down a street, staring into the windows of shops and cafes that were still left. He stopped outside the window of a small bakery. The smell of the fresh bread made his stomach ache with pain. He was so absorbed by the smell and the sight of the bakery that he did not realize or recognize an American soldier that had come up and was watching him from behind. The boy hardly noticed it when the GI walked past him into the store. He did, however, see the large bag the baker was filling for the GI with rolls, breads, and pastries. The boy could hardly breathe when the soldier left the shop, knelt down, and handed him the bag, saying, "They are all yours." Then the soldier turned and walked away. The little boy just stood there for a moment, frozen, looking at the GI with just astonishment and gratitude. And then he started to run after the soldier as fast as he could. He caught up with him and grabbed him by the pant leg, and he tugged on it. The soldier stopped and turned around. The little boy asked, "Mister, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus?" We're never more like God when we give back in our life, because He's given everything for us. He died on the cross, the Son of God. He gave His all. He left heaven's glories, came to this earth to pay the price of sin. And oh, how the gift of salvation is offered today to each and every one of us. Do you know Him as your Savior today? If you do, be like Jesus and give back and give back.